RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Colorado correspondent is Scott Elias. Scott and his wife Lorraine have two kids, Scott 12 and Elizabeth 10. Though Scott camped as a young kid growing up in Florida, Lorraine never did. As a family, they are very new to the camping lifestyle. They purchased their first travel trailer, a Jayco Whitehawk 24 MBH, in the spring of 2016 and have already taken several short and long trips up and down the Rocky Mountains. Scott is a former educator who now works for Apple, and his wife, Lorraine, is a teacher. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you back. And we're so excited that you are bringing us to the great state of Wyoming. And you're going to tell us about a rather gorgeous campground in Curt Gowdy State Park. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. From amazing water zones to mini-golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. So maybe we'll visit a Jellystone after we go out in the middle of nowhere to Curt Gowdy State Park.
Did you see Yogi at Curt Gowdy at all, or was he not?
You know, like, I cannot say he made the trip.
Maybe next time. Maybe he was hibernating when you were there.
For $10 a night, I don't think you're going to see Yogi at this place.
No, not so much.
All right. So, Scott, let's dive in. Where exactly is Curt Gowdy State Park?
So, Curt Gowdy State Park is in the beautiful state of Wyoming, and it is exactly halfway between Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Laramie, Wyoming. So, that puts it just under an hour and a half from us here in Fort Collins. So it's a pretty easy weekender for us. And if you're down in the Denver metro area, you'd be around 2.5 hours. So it's super close, but it feels like miles away.
But it's just a great weekend option for you. I mean, that's amazing that you can get into Wyoming for a weekend trip.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just a beautiful place geographically, and just a lot to do there to get outside. So it's a great, great place.
All right. So this is a state park. Tell us about the size of the campground.
Yeah, it's a state park. And the size of the campground is, it's got 145 sites. Of those, 35 are reservable during their season. And because it's Wyoming, they have a pretty short season during which you would actually want to be outside camping. And that's from May 1 through September 30. So you've got 35 reservable sites. And if you're a tent camper, there are also 6 dedicated tent camping sites as well.
Now, so there's a lot of non-reservable sites here. Do they fill up? Do people line up at the gates when the campground's opening to try to nab a spot?
They do. And I'll tell you that when you and I talked about doing this a week or so ago, I actually went on because I realized, oh, my gosh, we haven't made a reservation at Kurt Gowdy for this summer. And I tried to look at a couple of dates we wanted in late May, and they're already booked. So all of the reservable sites, people are hovering over their mouse pads and click wheels, and you know, they're ready to go as soon as the reservation window opens up.
Why do you think so many are not reservable? It seems like it might keep people away from just taking a chance and driving out to Wyoming.
You know, I think there. I think it gets a lot of local traffic. I know when we were there, there were some sites where we arrived on a Thursday, and you would see people roll in on Thursday and kind of claim their site, presumably for the weekend, and then they would leave. And I thought, well, that's pretty strange. And then all of a sudden, Friday night, 6-7 o'clock, they would come rolling in for the weekend. So I think it's kind of a balance. It gives the flexibility because it is pretty remote. It's pretty far out there. It's not like it's on the way to or from anything, which pretty much describes most of Wyoming. But I just think it gives the flexibility for the locals to get in there when they want to.
So, of course, like always, the locals have their little tricks set up and they've got their little game down and they're getting those spots. So we'll have to be just as tricky coming from out of town in order to nab that. Now, Scott, tell me, are you going to be brave and try to go without a reservation?
You know, I don't know that I could get there early enough to get in without a reservation. I have a window picked out. I have a weekend picked out in August, and I already have my calendar marked when the rolling booking window will allow you to book those dates. So we'll roll the dice because there's only I know we'll get to this, but there's only one loop that has electrical hookups, and there's only 15 sites on that loop, and I'm not going to go unless we get one of those.
So that's the Platinum Loop.
Yes, that's right. It's the Platinum Loop.
Tell us about the site details and just paint a picture of this campground for us. I looked online before we got on with you, and it's a beautiful, beautiful campground.
Yeah, as with a lot of southern Wyoming, it's a lot of open, rolling grassland, but there's some very unique geographic features. It's almost like mountains that got all the way worn down to the nubs. So they're like mountain nubs, rocky mountains, but there's also like a lot of grassland there. So the campground itself is pretty wide open, as with, again, most of southern Wyoming. So you can, even though you're not close to your neighbor, you can see almost all the way across the entire state park from any place that you are if you're up in one of the higher sites. So the state park itself is really centered around two reservoirs, and there are 12, they call them campgrounds, but it's one campground with 12 loops. Each loop has a different name, and those loops are divided out around these two reservoirs. So only one of the loops has the electrical hookups, but all of the sites in the campground are dry campsites.
Does it get really windy there, even in the summer?
It can get very windy in Wyoming any time of the year, so you want to be you want to be especially careful and aware of the fact that in southern Wyoming, the weather can change on a moment's notice. You know, there were a couple of days we were there, and we looked at the sky and said, wow, we're going to get a lightning storm, and kind of stuck around close to the camper, and, you know, it just kind of blew past. But it can turn very quickly because you are so exposed. There's just not really a lot of trees to speak of around the camping areas.
Okay. What are the sites like themselves in terms of back-ends, pull-throughs, et cetera?
The sites are pretty large. All of the ones that I saw were pull-throughs. Like I said, it's all dry camping. There are, however, 15 sites that have electricity, and those are the ones that go quickly of the 35 that are reservable. If you are willing to go completely dry and electric-free, there are a lot of really, really nice sites that are right around the reservoir, kind of up on a hill looking over the reservoir. So you can get some pretty beautiful sights if you're willing to be flexible with the electricity.
Sounds like a great place to get a little fix of rustic, really rustic camping. So now you mentioned that this is a tough place to book, and you really have to set that like reminder in your phone, especially if you want a reservation and if you want an electric site. But what about the price? What are we looking at price-wise?
Well, I don't want to get you down, but for non-Wyoming residents, you have to pay a premium. The premium for non-Wyoming residents is $17 a night.
Our Western correspondents love making fun of our camp
prices. And the price for Wyoming residents?
If you live in Wyoming, it's $10 a night.
See, on
and
the East
what's really nice about Wyoming that is not the same here in Colorado is that the per night price actually includes the day use fee for the state park. In Colorado, it's separate. You have to pay for your state park access, and then you have to pay for your site.
We don't even have $10 bills in the Northeast. I think they got rid of them here.
You couldn't even afford
anything.
It's
like a can of Coke is $10. That's a crazy price. Cheapest campground we've ever had on Campground of the
Week. Well, especially since it includes a day pass to the state park, because most state parks are going to – that's going to be the day pass. You know, that's the cost of the day pass. So it's like buy a day pass, get a campsite free here at Kurt Gowdy State Park, I think. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's no wonder that it's a pretty popular one with the crowd from Cheyenne. And from Laramie, because if you live in Cheyenne or if you live in Laramie, you're there in half an hour.
All right. So tell me about the amenities at this campground. I'm sure they're fairly stripped down. I'm sure there's not a hot tub here. But what is on the campground itself?
Well, they just built a very cool new state-of-the-art visitor center / museum. So there's some exhibits in there that are pretty cool about the just about the geography and why the park looks the way it looks and some of the wildlife. They do allow camping all year round, and there are some really cool exhibits in there around like snowshoeing in the winter. So if you were of hardy stock and wanted to get out there and camp in January, you can do some snowshoeing, ice fishing, and things like that. So the museum visitor center is really, really nice and new and very, very well done. There's also kind of the usual state park fare, like coin-operated showers and laundry that you're going to want to take advantage of because none of the sites have water hookups at all. And then in peak season, I know we'll talk a little bit later about the water sports there, but during peak season, you can rent a kayak or a stand-up paddleboard there if you want to.
Now that...
So pretty small vendors, but a pretty cool museum and visitor center.
Now, the visitor center, we'll link to the website. There's a little video of the visitor center. It's like a very kind of a lodge look. It looks like there's a fireplace in there. It looks very cozy, like a nice place to actually hang out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a very nice place. And there actually is a lodge, not like that you would stay overnight in and make a reservation kind of a thing, but you can book like family reunions there and things like that. So there's one lodge that's in the on the property.
All right. So tell us, like, should we even bring our phones, or is it useless to try to make a phone call from this campground?
No, you can, depending on your provider, if you can get up high enough. That's one of the nice things about being relatively close to Cheyenne and Laramie, which in Wyoming, those are kind of your two big cities. So you can get decent service if you get up high enough, or, you know, just stay out of the valleys.
All right. Now, Scott, you're going back again, as you just said, you can't wait to return. On your return, are there any insider details that you kind of picked up on your first visit that you're using for your return visit?
Aside from book early, that's a pretty important one, or you're not going back, at least not going back with electricity anyway. We were one road removed from being on the reservoir. I will be looking for a site that's right on the reservoir because it's a really nice grassy, easy slope into the reservoir. So if you bring your own kayaks, which we did, you can just kind of leave them down there on the water. So, and you can also fish from your site. There are people catching trout. I hear there's salmon. I have not seen proof of that. But there are, there's all kinds of experiences that you can have right on the water. So when we go back, we'll definitely be looking for a site on the water.
Now, we know that nobody's perfect, but I feel bad even asking at $10 a night. Like, it just doesn't seem fair to complain.
Like, what do you want?
But what could be improved here, if anything?
Well, I felt bad even writing it, like you said, at $10 a night, even though we had to pay $17. But there is a big kind of a warning here. The dump station was closed within the last few years, so there is no dump station on the property. And part of that is because the state park has gotten so many more visitors over the recent years that they were not able to keep it kind of environmentally safe. And their main goal, of course, is to protect the water in the reservoirs. So there is no dump station, and the closest dump station is at the visitor center at the Wyoming border, and that's just over 30 miles away. So this is a place where you're going to want to be very smart about your water use, especially your gray tank, and do what you can to conserve water. We did a three-nighter, and I don't think that we could have gone for a fourth night in our camper.
Yeah, that pretty much tops it up.
So
for
larger tanks would be nice here. Like for instance, our Toro Roller has much larger tanks now, so we could last maybe
a
little bit
longer. We'll see how long we last. So
well, and you know, in some places, it's just the comfort of hey, you know what? Worst case scenario, I'll hitch it up and drive it over and dump. That's not even an option here.
And so that is incredibly good to know. You're right, especially if you see some old information online that says that there is a dump station that could get you tripped up for sure. All right. So, Scott, thank you so much for that review of the Curt Gowdy State Park in Wyoming. We are going to be back in a minute, and you're going to tell us about some of the other activities and things to do in Curt Gowdy State Park. Stay tuned.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old-world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with our Colorado correspondent, Scott Elias, and he just gave us a great review of the Curt Gowdy State Park. And in a second, he's going to tell us about some activities there to do in the state park. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. And you know what? Let's start back at the beginning where we probably should have started at the beginning of this episode. Who the heck is Curt Gowdy?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Curt Gowdy, when we went the first time, I had no idea who Curt Gowdy is. And when you're going to a campground in Wyoming, I was operating under the assumption that he was a famous Western cowboy. In fact, he is not. The baseball fans that our listeners may recognize the name, but Curt Gowdy, even though he was born in Green River, Wyoming, and grew up in Cheyenne, he was actually the voice of the Boston Red Sox for a while during the 60s and 70s. So he was a pretty famous sportscaster who grew up in Wyoming.
All right, right. So he was kind of sort of like the hometown hero in this area. So they were looking forward to naming something after him, and a reservoir came along, I guess.
Absolutely. And I understand he was quite the basketball player in high school and may even still hold a couple of state records from high school or the University of Wyoming at Laramie.
All right, boy gone good, right?
Who would have thunk it?
Absolutely.
I know. All right. So now that we know why the state park has that name, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what there is to do there?
Yeah, the big draw in Curt Gowdy, and even before we camped, the park was legendary around northern Colorado. The big draw in Curt Gowdy is water sports and mountain biking. It is a mountain bike mecca. There are over 40 miles of mountain bike trails, everything from pretty easy that you could putter along with the kids to pretty extreme. They call them double black diamond mountain bike trails.
So, and where are you at with your family in terms of mountain biking?
I'll be on the pavement for the most part. My son and I will do some of the pretty basic ones, but I don't do anything too crazy. If you are used to East Coast mountain biking, and I don't really know mountain biking, so I don't want to offend any of the East Coast mountain bikers, but this is pretty legit mountain biking. One of the folks that we camped with, some friends of the family, and the husband is a pretty serious mountain biker, and he was out there for hours every day just riding the trails around the reservoir. So that's the big draw.
So you could take the RV there just for a mountain biking weekend. I mean, if that's one of your favorite hobbies, you don't need another reason to go here.
Right. And a lot of people do. I saw quite a few people pull in that were either driving their Class A or Class C and towing their boat. or they were doing the double tow with their fifth wheel and their boat as well. So most people that are coming to Kurt Gowdy State Park, because there really is nothing nearby. It's not, you know, it's not the gateway to anything other than itself. That's very meta. But there are most people that are going to either mountain bike or get on the water, either skiing or jet skiing, or like we were kayaking and stand up paddle boarding.
Now, you were mentioning a lot of water sports. Are there rentals, or do you have to bring your own toys?
So yes to both. I would suggest bringing your own toys if you have them. There is a rental. I guarantee that it's not like what you're thinking of when you think of a rental. It is literally like a cargo container that would go on the back of a semi that they throw the doors open and they pull out kayaks and stand up paddle boards and they will rent them to you. So we had kayaks at the time. We rented a stand up paddle board because I'd never done it and I kind of got hooked on it. So there is a rental there that's pretty reasonable. I don't remember what we paid, but it was very reasonable for hourly rental. But I think most people that are going are bringing their own stuff.
Okay.
And if you have the right site, you can launch your kayak right from your site, basically, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we were one road off of the reservoir and, you know, it's Wyoming. It's a friendly crowd. We actually just left our kayaks down at the shore overnight and we had no issue. So, yeah, most people are coming and they're launching from their site.
Now, for fishing, are there places to fish on shore or do you need to, you know, like have a boat to go out or use your kayak?
Yeah, they're both. You can fish on shore at both. So there's kind of two main reservoirs. Granite Reservoir is the bigger of the two. You're allowed to motorboat, jet ski, kayak on Granite Reservoir. So you can go boat into the middle of the lake and fish. Crystal Reservoir is the smaller of the two, and motorized boat traffic is limited to 15 horsepower. So you'll see some people in you know, like John boats with little electric outboards and things like that, but you just won't have the high speed boating. So it's a lot nicer for hand propelled watercraft. We were a little bit kind of freaked out at first because we were kind of new to kayaking. And so to put your kayak into Granite Reservoir and then you see all these boats flying by with skiers and jet skis and things, and they were all fine and they stayed clear of the kayakers. But as new kayakers, we were like, can we find a place with no motorboats?
Are you putting the kayaks inside your RV or do you have racks for them?
For this one, we had two. We put them on the back. I got off eBay like a ladder rack for my F-150, and I would put two kayaks on top of the ladder rack. And now I have a thing that goes over the tailgate, so we can put our bikes in the back of the pickup as well. Because we had the bikes in the camper and the kayaks on the truck. Now I can put everything on the truck.
So this is an ideal place for a family that really loves getting into the great outdoors. I mean, you've got kayaking there, you've got mountain biking there, you've got fishing there. This has got to be a favorite for you and your family.
You know, it's really nice. The sites are all really nice, level with picnic tables and grills on every site. So if you just want a low key weekend where you're not worried about getting into a theme park or trying to get somewhere else off site, and you just want to kind of take some downtime with the family, it's fantastic. There's also a lot of I don't think I mentioned there's a lot of horseback riding as well because there are so many trails through the area. There's a public equestrian corral, and I'm not an equestrian, so I don't know how this works, but there's a free horse corral, and one of the campgrounds is right next to the horse corral. So if you do have a segment of your audience that is into, I don't know, is it the equestrian arts? I don't know. They could certainly pack the horses and bring them out there as well.
I think we had Beaver Creek State Park that we had on this. That was another state park that's big for people that are trailering their horses
RVs that are made for people who have horses are pretty amazing.
Yeah, like you think it just looks like a horse trailer, and then the first time you get inside one, you're like, whoa, this is a real RV. It's crazy.
They want to get horses.
I know, we're so off topic right now. All right. Thank you, Scott, so much for that review of Kurt Gowdy State Park in Wyoming. And thank you also to Progressive. Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out on the road seeing the sights? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
And a big thank you to Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. And another big thank you to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and you can check them out at campjellystone.com. And a huge thank you to Scott Elias, our Colorado correspondent, who we always enjoy having on the show.
Thank you, guys. I'll be back again, I'm sure.
Hey, Scott, if
Am
people...
I officially a friend of the show now?
Oh, of course you are. That was a given. You were so good last time.
You're more than a friend of the show.
You're a correspondent.
You're a correspondent.
Third time's a charm. All
right. That's elite status.
Now, do I get a press badge?
Oh, sure. We can send you those.
Actually, our correspondents do get press badges.
I have a computer and a printer, Scott. I can do a lot. Now, Scott, tell everybody if they want to see pictures of your camper out there at beautiful parks in Colorado, in Wyoming, and other places, where can they find you?
Well, right now you can see pictures of my camper in storage, sadly, for about another month. But most of my social networking happens on Instagram, and you can find me at Scott Elias on Instagram.
And there's a rumor you might do a craft beer episode with us one day, not to put any pressure on you or anything.
I have heard that rumor as well.
Why don't we take this off mic?
Yeah, well,
and sort out this craft beer episode.
We'll talk about it maybe at the campground. See you there.
See you at the campground, Scott. Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.